For me, rituals are all about finding our way into the present. And we find our way into the present beyond reason, beyond our normal way of keeping track of things. Something momentous is happening. Something worth a ritual is happening. And it needs to be marked. The occasion needs to be marked because this situation, perhaps a funeral, perhaps a wedding, perhaps a divorce, a business is opening, a business is closing, a child is born, a child needs a name. What is happening is significant both inside you and outside you. Your internal world and your external world need to be really deeply connected, and that connection happens beyond reason. And yet, we need reason to help us prepare. We need reason to help take us there. So that's why I called this Reasons and Ritual. Our current culture, in the U.S. anyway, has largely lost track of any kind of initiation ceremony for young men. Just as an example, most boys somehow have to make it to manhood without anything marking the occasion, the day, of becoming a man. Part of the reason is we've totally lost track of what a man is. As a whole culture, we don't have any kind of agreement. What makes a man different from a boy, from an adolescent? What kind of genitalia do you need to be a man? Those are real questions. And why isn't there a clear line that has to be crossed? Our culture has lost that. I was born and raised in a Jewish family, and I had a bar mitzvah when I was 13 years old. And on some Saturday morning of 1973, I stood in front of the rabbi, and he told me, "Today, you are a man." And then on Monday, I was back in seventh grade. What a bad joke. I felt like telling my teachers, you know, hey, I just became a man this weekend, so I guess I don't have to do my homework anymore. This isn't true of all Jewish sects. The more Orthodox, especially, the ritual actually does mark an occasion, but in my synagogue, it was just some kid being told they were a man, and it wasn't really true. In Vanuatu, there are young men who prove their manhood by jumping from wooden towers. Some of them are 100 feet high, with only vines tied to their ankles. The aim is for the divers to get close enough to the ground so they can brush their shoulders or their hair against the ground. This is another way to mark a transition to adulthood. Besides the courage to jump, you have to have trust in your community because they're the ones who prepared the vines for you. When women get their periods, what happens? What marks the occasion? It's usually seen in some private way. It's not a social occasion. That is a huge thing for a girl to start her period. And how about when women stop their periods and enter menopause? Huge transition, tremendous transition. Not only isn't there hardly ever a ceremony, hardly ever anyone even talks about it. Rituals are there for us when we need to match the inside to the outside. I saw a short video by Sarah Kerr. She's from the Center for Sacred Death Care. And it really spoke to me and matched my experience with rituals very, very well. I'm going to put a link to her work in the show notes. So on the inside, maybe a friend is moving out of town. A child is going off to college. Someone you used to see daily. Soon you won't. It's a big deal for you both. But our society, our culture, offer very few ways to mark this occasion. And no way really to hold it still long enough to really feel what's happening. I mean, of course, we do have things like going away parties, but parties are supposed to be fun, and you really have to bend the party to make it express what the people are feeling if they're feeling sad. Often at a going away party, there's food and drink, people talking in small groups, and the person who is leaving has no way to express their feelings, and often others don't have the time and the space to express theirs as well. In fact, most people would consider it kind of awkward to express their feelings directly, and a ceremony or a ritual can really help with that. A ritual doesn't have to be a big deal. You don't necessarily need candles or incense or play drums or om. You don't have to do that. For me, the heart of the ritual is that someone there has some understanding of what ritual is, what it means, and how to help those around get into it. Literally, get into the ritual. A ritual needs someone to lead the people into the ritual space and hold the ritual space by knowing what the ritual space is, and then lead everyone back out, back into the, let's call it, the regular world. So this is a two-part series. In part one, this part, I'm going to be talking about the reasons to have a ritual, because you need some reasons to turn toward ritual, to want to value ritual, to want to explore ritual, to realize how important it is. You need some reasons, but the reasons are only there to let go of once you enter the ritual. So in part two, I'm going to be talking about how you, possibly, or someone, can lead a ritual. What is that ritual space, and how do you go there? How do you lead people there? That's what we're going to talk about in part two. But for right now, we're going to talk about the reasons, because that's what I want to talk about today. Hello, and welcome to the 10 Crutches podcast. My name is David. I'm glad you're here. As you may have guessed, or as you may know from listening to some episodes of this 10 Crutches podcast, what I'm trying to do here overall is to think about the present moment from a variety of different angles. I talk about how we as humans can be estranged from and alienated from the present moment. What is it that we can do to come in for a landing? Once you're alienated from the present, it can be hard to come back. In part, this is because alienation grows from confusion about what the present moment even is. For example, in a book that I wrote, a book called 10 Crutches for Walking in the Present, which, by the way, is available for free download on the podcast website at 10crutches.link. In that book, I talk about how the future and the past are both constructions. In episode one of this podcast, which I called Putting Your Future Behind You, I talked about how we very often feel the present moment is like we're on a railroad track. It's as if we have, quote, come from the past and are, quote, moving toward the future. If you have unconsciously accepted a model like this, just no questions at all, just I'm coming from the past, I'm moving towards the future. And like I said in that episode one, a lot of people say, moving forward, we will now do such and such. Some kind of feeling of movement, as if you're on a train rolling down a track. I call this confusion about what the present moment is, because you are not living on a railroad track. It's a metaphor, and in this case, a very misleading one. Alienation from the present moment can come from feeling like you are living on this track without realizing how you made it up. You might have the feeling of, quote-unquote, looking out the window of your life, kind of like you were on that train. It might give you the feeling that, quote-unquote, life is speeding past you. So So this confusion about past and the future is one way to be separated from the present moment. Even when you are on an actual train, your body may be moving relative to the ground, but in another way, you aren't going anywhere at all. So this confusion about past and future is one way to be separated from the present moment. Another way we can get lost is during big moments of transition. During a moment of transition, it can be particularly difficult to come into the present moment. This is because it's hard to identify where the present moment is, because the past and the future are diverging, perhaps, from what we knew or what we expected. At certain times, there really are big things happening in our lives. For example, someone you loved and cared for a lot, perhaps they just died. That's huge. That can be so, so difficult. Or maybe the thing happening on the outside is a really happy occasion, a wedding, for example. There certainly are ceremonies we have evolved for these occasions, and funerals and weddings are very old rituals. But sometimes they ring hollow. Sometimes they might feel a little dead, a little unrelated to what's actually happening for the people in the moment. Sometimes rituals don't do what they seem like they have promised us they will do. The death of someone may leave many people close to that person distressed, some completely devastated by the loss. So on the inside, you have people genuinely struggling with what happened, really trying to cope. And on the outside is the funeral. So there is a ritual. There is a prescribed way to gather, depending on the religion or the secular leader of the funeral. My question is this: does the funeral ritual provide a good way for all these people to acknowledge and contain and release at least some of these strong emotions? Have you ever been to a funeral where parents are anguished by the loss of their child? How can any ritual contain that? What is going to be an event on the outside that matches the anguish on the inside? This is what ceremony is for me. I'm not proposing answers here. I'm raising the questions. I am saying that we need to look to ritual to answer these questions. I'm saying that part of understanding what a ritual is that you look to this extreme case and try to imagine what could be appropriate. And you realize in the case of a parent losing a child, the answer perhaps is nothing. But then you proceed anyway, because literally doing nothing is even worse. A ritual will acknowledge something so you and whoever is there can participate together in a present moment that is larger than any one person. A ceremony or a ritual can evolve simply because you want it to, simply because you or someone has recognized that this is an occasion worth noting, worth marking, worth having a ceremony about. You can call in ritual or ceremony anytime. Possibly just standing in a circle with some other people, maybe holding hands if that's not too weird, and saying, let's all take 3 deep breaths together. And you say, let's acknowledge that such and such just happened, or is about to happen, or something, whatever it is. Doesn't have to be a big deal. The whole thing might take 5 minutes. It might take hardly anything, or it might be a huge event, and you will remember that 5 minutes for the rest of your life. Rituals need to express what is true that often can't be expressed directly in words. Some things need a container. They need a way to be expressed, and that's often through symbols. The mind, the human mind, finds it easier to be present in transition when a ceremony supports what is happening. So I hope I've said enough at this point and given enough reasons and given enough examples for you to see that rituals are often missing. Rituals are often not there when we need them, and it's up to us to create them. If you are lucky enough to be part of a religion that offers you enough different types of ceremony, that's great. I think that's wonderful. But living the lives that we do these days, there's often things that are happening that need to be marked, need to be ritualized, need to have some ceremony in some way that calls our attention to these very important moments in our lives. So in the next part, I'll be talking about what is this ritual space and how do you lead a ritual? Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you next time. Please visit the home of the 10 Crutches podcast at 10crutches.link. That's 10crutches.link. The book that inspired the podcast, a book I wrote called 10 Crutches for Walking in the Present, is available for free download on the website. While you are there, please take advantage of two ways to contact me. You can send me an email, or you can make a voice recording. If you have a great question, I may be able to use it for the podcast. Also on the website, you can visit the archive to hear any published episode and see show notes for any and every show. Thanks so much for listening. And once again, thanks so much for listening. And I won't say it once again. See you next time.